Well, let's welcome back manager Mike Meyer. Mike, do you have any team updates for us?
Yeah, we do. We actually we brought in Grant Kay, a utility position player with some juice. He's on loan from the Tampa Bay Rays, so we were excited to land him. You know, it was a little bit of a process trying to get, you know, all of the protocols that we have with MLB now and making sure we have waivers signed and, you know, send in all of our COVID-19 safety protocols that we're going with and get approval. So, but we're excited to have him. I think he brings a little bit of juice, you know, to that second spot, and, you know, he can play play all over the infield and corner outfield spots. And so it's always nice having another guy that's with that type of versatility.
Now, is he a person, I think Major League Baseball had kind of released a bunch of guys, giving them the opportunity to play, but they were still in the organization. Is that how this works for him then?
Yeah, so he never got released by the organization, so you're right. He still is a member of the Tampa Bay Rays. But he wasn't on the taxi squad, so they told him if he wanted to go play independent baseball, he could, as long as they thought we were, you know, protecting him with, you know, from COVID-19 and all the safety protocols and that sort of thing. And they liked what we had to say, so they gave him the waiver. And, you know, he's here, he's played in the game for us, hit a bomb dead center, so we already saw a little bit of that production.
Before we jump into fan questions, I did want to talk a little bit about last night's game. Grady Wood really looked like he had his stuff back, and you know, pretty good Saints lineups. You had to feel pretty good about that, I would gather.
Yeah, you know, if anybody's been watching our games closely, every start he's getting a little bit more comfortable out there. You know, he's been competitive enough to give us a chance to win every time he comes to rubber. But he hasn't been 2017 sharp. But every time he toes the rubber, he's got something that's a little bit better, where his mechanics are a little cleaner. His stuff hasn't really changed from the first start to now, but it's been the consistency of the spin on his slider. His fastball command was absolutely atrocious for his first two starts, but it's been getting significantly better. He went 5 innings against a really good Winnipeg lineup in Fargo and gave up 1. And then, you know, obviously Saints lineup is really good. And, you know, he was able to get through whatever it was, you know, 6-plus innings yesterday with only giving up the 1 run. So it's exciting to know that he's looking more and more like Grady Wood of 2017. And that's a big piece at the front of our rotation.
Well, let's jump into fan questions, and we start with Andy, who says, Mike, love how well the team is playing, but are you a little worried about the low number of walks the lineup is getting?
Well, we kind of knew that may be one of the things that we would face this year because we ambush so much. But again, you know, I remember my pitching staffs going against some of those really good Wichita teams, and other than, like, Mittelstadt in the middle of the lineup, everybody would go up there and they were barreling one of the first two pitches. And it didn't matter if you were throwing breaking balls or changeups or fastballs. They were always ready to hit. And that's the type of lineup we have. Our guys are going up there and they're looking to do damage. And when they get to two strikes, they just really compete and battle and try to put the ball in play. You know, so that's kind of a little bit of the trade-off. We're not going to have the high walks because we don't work counts as much. But when we get a pitch that's maybe a hanging breaking ball, 0-0 or 1-0, you know, years past, we would take that pitch. And instead, this year, we're hitting that ball off the wall, or we're hitting it out of the ballpark. You know, so there's going to be nights when, you know, last night, for example, the wind was howling in. We hit some balls on the nose that would be out of just about every ballpark in the world and weren't yet last night. And because we don't walk, it really makes it difficult to score on nights like that. But for the majority in our league, especially in our ballpark, we would rather have the guys being super aggressive and, you know, hitting those mistakes when they get them.
Lonnie asks us, the ERA of the pitching staff is up there, Mike. Is that just a product of a lot of games in the birdcage or even better hitters this year?
It's a little bit of both, but if you really look at it, I actually had a call with our owner yesterday, and we were talking about it, and he and I, we've talked about this before, about the birdcage effect, but it's one of those things where I don't know if it's just me saying, oh yeah, it's so hard to pitch in the birdcage, or if our pitching staffs were really that bad, but I think we can kind of see now, having St. Paul playing all their home games in the birdcage, it's really tough to get outs in the birdcage, and they've got a really good staff over there, and they've got guys that have been really, really scuffling to find outs in the birdcage, and their ERAs are way higher than they've been in the past, and I think it's the accumulative effect of pitching in the birdcage every day. So I think our staff is better than it's been, and even though our team ERA isn't all that great, if you match that up with our offensive production in the birdcage, we're still doing okay.
We have a couple from Tanner for you. The first is, Mike, this is really exciting to see the team in first. How do you keep the momentum going and maintain that spot atop the league?
Yeah, we got to stay healthy. We have to continue to compete and grind. And, I was really proud of our guys last night being in a 3-0 hole, facing one of the league's best, bullpen arms in the ninth inning and scratching to tie that game up. And we had a couple of swings that won in the game, and couldn't get it done. But we need to continue to compete like that and grind every day and continue to work. This team has worked so much harder in early work and batting practice than just about any, as a whole, just about more than any team that we've had here. And we need to continue that. We can't get complacent and, keep the pedal to the metal and keep moving forward.
Tanner also asks, what is it like in the locker room when you have been in first for a week or longer? Does the team pay attention to that kind of thing?
I don't think it really is an issue for us. We got one goal, and that's to win this thing, and we want to win every series, and that's our main goal, is to go out and compete and win every series. We had a pretty decent road trip, for our first road trip of the year, but we ended up losing to Winnipeg on that Sunday game and lost that series. And our guys were pretty disappointed in themselves. They felt like we threw away the first game and we should have won both the games with the doubleheader and win that series. And that's their main goal. Every three games we got to take two of them. But they don't really care about the standings. It's more about, taking care of what we need to take care of.
Henry would like to know, are you still looking at waiver wires or guys that are available now, or is this your team and you're just going, barring an injury, you're just going with them?
No, we're making moves. I can't announce it yet, but I got another guy coming in, former major league arm. So he'll be joining us here in the next couple of days. If there's somebody out there that makes us better, and we can afford them, we're gonna do that. We love the core group of our team, but there's some places that we can improve, and we're gonna continue to do so if we find the right piece.
Eric asks, from what I have observed, you have been keeping starting pitchers to about six innings at most. Is that necessary, or are you wanting to rely on the bullpen more? What is exactly your plan there?
Yeah, we'd like to extend them a little bit more. I'd love to get 6 2/3, 7 innings from our starters, because we've been, taxing that bullpen pretty hard here early. I just think it's the lineups are so deep this year, it's extremely difficult to get through 7 innings in our league. There just isn't, there's no easy innings where you're like, all right, I've got 8-9-1 or I've got 7-8-9 coming up. And all I got to do is throw strikes and I'm going to get through this inning. It isn't like that. I mean, you're facing Max Murphy, John Silviano and, Bird or whoever they have in the 9-hole. That's a brutal 7-8-9. And it's not just St. Paul. It's Chicago. It's It's Winnipeg. We haven't faced Fargo and Milwaukee yet, but I know their lineups are super deep as well. So, you know, it's really tough for these starting pitchers in our league to get through, you know, six innings. And that's kind of been, you know, the mark. I don't think we've had any starter that's gone, made it through the seventh either against us.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Lucco and I were talking about the fact of Wes Darvill's batting eighth in Winnipeg's lineup.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's just crazy. Ricky asks, for starting pitchers, is it challenging facing the same team a few times in a very short period of time?
It can be, for sure. I know our guys, you know, Ty Coldbreath is the guy, you know, the double start this week. So the way it works out is whoever pitches Tuesday pitches Sunday. And, you know, with the rain out, he was bummed because that bumped him back a day, which you know, now he gets to pitch against the Saints lineup twice in the Birdcage. So, you know, it's definitely a thing, and it weighs on these guys a little bit. You know, if you've got your stuff working and you have your stuff matches up really well with the other team, I don't think it's an issue. But there's just certain lineups, there's certain hitters that you face where, for some reason or another, it's really difficult to get those guys out. And I've had many a guys like that. And it's tough when you face them all the time. And, you know, in normal circumstances, it may happen where we play a three-game series against St. Paul, then we play Fargo, and then St. Paul comes to us for four. You know, and you may catch that double, you know, start back-to-back. But it doesn't happen very often where this year, every other week, we're playing a six-game series against St. Paul. So that, you know, that's going to be a tough task to handle throughout the course of the summer.
We head to a little Major League Baseball, and we start with Greg, who would like to know, do you think that if this season is really exciting for Major League Baseball, could you see the league reducing the number of games in future seasons?
I don't think so, you know, because of revenue. You know, everything revolves around money. And, you know, and that's why they don't want to get shorten the season, because it costs money. That's less gates. That's, you know, less TV games. So I think, you know, for a lot of the players themselves, they don't want to cut down because it's less revenue sharing for them, and they don't get the 12-year, $365 million contracts if they play less games. So I don't see that happening. But we were talking about it in the clubhouse yesterday when they announced the playoff system, and we feel like it's going to be unbelievable, and they're going to have to figure out a way to you know, kind of implement that moving forward, whether they cut it down to 142 games of regular season so that they can add a bunch of playoff games and it doesn't impact the revenue as much. That would be kind of cool.
It's funny you mentioned the salary, because our next question comes from Jenny, who says, I look at that Mookie Betts deal and think that one guy is really not worth that kind of money. Does one big power bat or one big hitter superstar guy really change the dynamic of a lineup that much so that you're willing to spend 10% of your total salary on them?
Yeah, I think it does. I think if you just look at the Washington Nationals, you know, and look at where they were last year at the end of the season when they were rolling offensively, to what they're going to look like now without Rendon and now with Soto tested positive for COVID. You lose one of those guys, and as a pitcher, it's like, oh, thank goodness. You know, it makes facing that lineup a little bit easier to stomach. And then, you know, you lose another one of those guys, and you're feeling really good about yourself when you toe the rubber. And I think, you know, that's not only do you have to get that guy out, but he's going to be on base quite a bit. And then you're pitching in stressful situations, and, you know, he's giving protection to the guy in front of him. He's, you know, helping the people behind him. So it's not just him in that lineup. It makes the guys around him even better.
Phil would like to know, do you think there is any concern that Major League Baseball waited too long to get started and fans may have found something else to do or simply have lost interest?
No, I don't think so. I think that this is going to end up working out really well for MLB. You know, I think that they finally figured out what it was that they needed to do, and the difference between them and us, we're used to not having a spring training. We usually get 10 days. It's 12 days on the calendar, but really it's 10 days of spring training for us. So it was easy for us to kind of say, hey, guys, we're going, and I need you here next week. Let's go. And then we got 8 days of spring training. We're playing games. But for them, they had to make sure they took their time. They had the protocols in place. They gave their players enough time to, get reheated up and get into shape and see live and that sort of thing. So I think it was smart of them to delay it till yesterday and make sure that their guys were healthy and in a safe place. And I think the 60 games is going to be kind of a fun thing for the fans.
Darren asks, he says, athletes are so competitive and want to win every game. Is it hard to turn that off as a manager and understand that you're not going to win every night?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. You know, last night, we're coming off of a really good start to the season, and we already won the series and kind of were playing with house money last night. But it still really, chaps you. I was burning pretty good there after the game, and you got to try to make sure you're keeping the guys positive and loose and making sure they understand that, hey, it doesn't feel good to lose, but, you're proud of them and for the effort and battling, and we need to get after it again tomorrow. It's never an easy thing, whenever you're not coming out on top.
It's kind of speaking of that game last night, do you at least take some solace in the fact that you did kind of turn up a big ninth inning against maybe the best closer in the league right now?
Yeah, no, we definitely, love that. Jameson is really good, and we have not hit him at all this year. And, to hit him pretty good like that was awesome and exciting, but you put all that effort in to coming back and, we kept throwing zeros and pitching out of jams and we had runners in scoring position all over the place and couldn't get the big swing. And, so it can be a little bit of a crushing blow. And the one thing you got to really try to do as a manager is not let that, manifest into the next day's performance. I think you saw it after our game against Chicago where we had a huge lead, they came back. We took another lead, they came back. We took another big lead, they came back, and finally we won it the 12th. I think they ended up getting smashed 14-1 or something the next day. So, we got to make sure that, our guys are they're up and they're ready to go today so we can go out and try to get this first win of this road series.
We have a couple of questions from Lisa. The first is, does your wife love baseball like you do, or does she support you in baseball so her love is based on her support for you?
She does. She comes from a baseball family. Her dad played baseball in high school. Her brother played, 5 or 6 years in the Frontier League. So she comes from a baseball family. It's kind of built into her DNA. It's really the only sport that she'll watch other than gymnastics. She's not going to sit down and watch a football game or a basketball game, but, she likes watching baseball and, she's always got a game on in the background or we go to University of Arizona baseball games quite a bit. And she really enjoys going there. So she loves baseball.
Lisa would also like to know, would you mind telling us a little bit about your wife's athletic career and how she reached to such a high level?
Yeah, she's a pretty special athlete. Grew up in Pennsylvania, Nazareth, PA. Went to a legendary club gym, Parkettes, in Allentown, PA. Just kind of, by the time she was 14 or 15, she was competing in elite gymnastics and competing in you know, some of the big major events. And in 94, I want to say that one was in St. Louis. In 94, St. Louis, she finished seventh in the world trials. So she made the world team, which, you know, would have been Olympic year. She would have been on the U.S. Olympic team, but it was not Olympic year, so she was on the world team there, and that was really her one shot at kind of being at that elite level. And then she chose Arizona because she didn't really want to continue on that ultra competitive gymnastics, which can be brutal. So she wanted to get out of the East Coast and get to a place where it was sunny every day. And so she picked the University of Arizona and, you know, had a great career there. And she's in the Ring of Honor in McHale Center, which is the basketball arena where the gymnastics team competes. And so her name's in the rafters. And, you know, she was a pretty special athlete.
Very nice. And we end with Teresa, who says, you know, Mike, Chris Coast has been with his wife since high school as well. Do you think that is the secret to being a successful player manager in baseball?
I certainly think it helps. You know, this is a game and it's fun. You know, and everybody grows up wanting to be a professional baseball player and make it to the big leagues. And, you know, you see the lucrative contract and all that sort of thing, but you know, I don't think people realize the grind of it. You know, when you're away from your family for, you know, 5 months and there isn't any days off, because even the Mondays that you have off every so often, you're on a bus for 15 hours. And yes, you're playing the game and it's fun, but it's the mental grind every single day. And, you know, as a manager or a coach or a player, your job security is based solely on production, which I understand it's that way in the real world as well. It's just different when it's not based on, you know, it's not, you can't just have effort alone or brains. You got to get lucky. You have to, you know, have physically, you have to be ready. If you have a nagging injury, things like that can affect your performance, you know, which then in turn, you know, affects your career. So it's a big time mental grind, more so than any other sport there is. There's no time away. You don't, you know, like in football, they get like a couple of days off after their games and they spend a lot of time in the film room. But for us, I mean, it's every day. We're 7 days a week. Every single day, practicing and playing every day, and it can beat you down. So to have a support system, you know, have a partner that is there for you and understands the lifestyle and has been with you from the beginning, it definitely makes a big difference.
Plus, that's not even considering, you know, if you're a teacher or a lawyer or whatever, there's not 2,000 other people trying to take your job every day.
Yeah, right. Right, or watching you do your job and yelling at you that you should be fired, you know, so, yeah, there's a lot of stresses to it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us this week, Mike.
I appreciate it, Rob. You have a good one.